to Inside Track, a conversation with New York's leading property management executives. I'm Paula Chin with Habitat Magazine, and my guest today is Drew Posner, Senior VP and Director of Client Services at Maxwell Cates. Welcome, Drew.
Hello, Paula. Thank you for having me.
Drew, when a management company is considering taking on a new building as a client, it needs to do its due diligence beforehand. But you can only uncover so much, and sometimes you later find some serious problems, especially when a condo is making the transition from sponsor control. I understand you recently had something of a nightmare scenario. But before we get to that, can you explain the process of taking over a new building?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. When a transition typically happens, and we're talking about taking over from a sponsor, I believe, we have to take a look at the offering plan, which includes the Schedule B. The Schedule B shows the original budget, the operating budget of the condo or co-op when we take over. That's one of the most crucial things we have to look at, besides everything else with the bylaws and the offering plan and whatever else we need to uncover with the building.
And what do you sometimes find when you look at that Schedule B, specifically anything sort of not so good that the sponsor has been doing?
That's an interesting point that you bring up. What we find is, you know, you have to keep in mind when a sponsor puts together a Schedule B, generally they're looking to sell apartments, which, you know, we all understand that's what they're trying to do. And what they'll do sometimes is they'll actually lowball or underestimate the budget. And they'll leave certain categories out for certain maintenance, things like metal and marble polishing, or there's no service contract on the HVAC or things like that. So there's lots of things that we have to take a look at just to make sure that everything is included in the budget in the Schedule B. What we find a lot is, as I mentioned, it's not. And the common charges are now artificially low for the new buyers because, again, they're looking to sell apartments and they don't want to have common charges that are extremely high or market, I guess we should say at that point.
So is the sponsor putting costs down that are less than it's paying, or it's simply not doing some of this maintenance?
It's actually a combination of both. There are some cases where they're just not putting in certain categories of things that have to be addressed. Sometimes this happens because, for example, the contractor that put in a system, let's say the HVAC system, it's still covered under the initial install of the equipment. So, you know, they're not thinking, well, this is going to run out in a year or two, and then we need to have a service contract. Lots of buildings, the Schedule B is actually done years before the building's even operating. So a lot of the prices are not even applicable anymore because of inflation or other costs or things like that.
Now, I understand when you take over, you typically do engineer surveys to obviously examine the building and find any structural defects. What often happens there? Do you run into problems?
Yeah, actually we do. What I do as the managing agent when I come in, I recommend that my boards engage an independent engineer to come in and take a look at the overall building, compare it to the offering plan, because we want to make sure, number one, that there are no defects, and number two, that the building got everything that they were promised that was in the offering plan. You know, we have found a lot of issues doing this. We found issues. I had a building that was in Hell's Kitchen where basically we found that the sidewalk was not installed properly. And we had a lot of leaks that were going on into the vault of the building. Now, the vault, what I'm talking about is that area underneath the sidewalk into the basement. What happened here was the sidewalk was, as I said, was not installed properly. So there was a lot of water penetration that was going in. The cost of this, we found, was over $1 million to repair. The sidewalk basically was going to have to be ripped up and put back down. There was no membrane underneath. So, you know, this is just one example of things that I find. We find things like no fire stopping was put in the walls or certain areas like that. I found drains that are dummy drains that basically go nowhere. They're not hooked up to anything. So this is very important for a board to do. And right away, we ask them to do that because there's a statute of limitations that the board of the building can go back to the sponsor, which is 6 years generally after the first sale, after the first closing.
Now, at this Hell's Kitchen building, have they gone back to the sponsor in time, and where does it stand?
Yes, they have gone back to the sponsor. We're still negotiating, and we're still within the statute of limitations, so we have not had to move to legal action yet.
Drew, I understand you had another building, one downtown, that ran into the problem of the sponsor lowballing the costs. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, there were things like they hired staff at minimum wage, which, you know, again, you're not going to get the best staff there. And we did want to get a better staff, which is going to cost, you know, more money. There were other items that were completely left out, such as metal and marble maintenance. And then there were a lot of service contracts that were not anticipated or left in. So, you know, we actually had to raise their common charges 22% based upon working off their Schedule B, which was several years old at this point.
So, of course, you're raising common charges to cover these repairing or maintenance or whatever it is at this building. At the Hell's Kitchen building, they're facing, as you said, $1 million in repairs. I imagine they can't wait because of the leaking. So in the meantime, right, they've got this huge cost. And how are they funding that?
Well, the situation is as follows. I mean, you know, there is some work that we were able to do to basically band-aid the situation. It's not permanent. We were actually able to inject a gel into the sidewalk that stopped the leaks for the time being, but it's not permanent. We still get some water that comes in. The building did have to pay for this. And the only proper way to do this is to, as I said, rip up the sidewalk and put it back down. So this is what we're discussing with the sponsor right now, and we're hoping to resolve this issue.
What are the odds that the building is going to get what it wants?
That's hard to say. I would hope that they do. The sponsor is responsible for this. They should be delivering a building that's watertight and pretty much issue free.
Now, at this building, did they have to do an assessment? Did the unit owners or shareholders sort of feel the pain?
Well, they did have to do an assessment at the building where the Schedule B was lowballed, with the employees being paid too low and things like that. Yeah, I mean, we not only do we have to do an assessment to raise for legal fees and to do the survey of the building, the deficiency survey, we also had to raise common charges. So, you know, that's not a pleasant conversation to have with your unit owners. Because a lot of them, this is the first time they own their own home, their own co-op, their own condo. And they don't fully understand. And a lot of times they look at the managing agent, you know, the new guy, which is me, as the bad guy. But, you know, the truth is we're trying to, you know, get them stable. I guess that's the best word to use here. And, you know, make sure that the building is able to run.
Drew, do you have a particular strategy when dealing with unit owners, as you said, who are understandably upset and perhaps pointing the finger at you?
Well, you know, what we do is we tell the truth. I like to show people, go back, take a look at your Schedule B. We do share the new budget, not the whole thing, but the summary with our unit owners. And we try to explain it the best we can. Look, you're going to have some people that just don't get it and they're upset. But most of the people do understand, especially when you show them the things that aren't operating or working correctly. And the money needs to come from somewhere. And unfortunately, it has to come from the unit owners.
Drew, what's the final takeaway here? What's the lesson for boards?
Well, the lesson for boards is when you're buying a new apartment, a brand new construction, be leery. Take a look at the Schedule B. Compare to other buildings if you can. Ask the questions when you're buying from the sponsor. How realistic is this? This is my common charges are lower compared to other people in the neighborhood. Why? These are the questions that I always ask, and understand that there are going to be certain pitfalls and things that you find that are going to increase costs.
Drew, this has been really informative. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.